worship, God. Keep you as in, worshipers are entering into the house of worship. We want to give a moment for them to do so. We certainly thank the Lord for you and for your presence. I pray that you've been blessed in song, for the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Hope you've been blessed in prayer, for the Bible says that he, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man doth, and the righteous woman doth availeth much. And we pray now that you will be blessed by the proclamation of God's divine and eternal words. Let us stand together. Let us turn in the our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. I believe that there is something from the Lord in this place. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. And as you turn there, I would that you read at your leisure the entire 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But today I'm going to just direct you to a few verses starting in verse number 12. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse number 12. I'm going to read through selected verses through verse number 23. Say amen, we've located the text. The Bible reads in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word, may it edify and may it sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me on the title of the sermon this morning, ladies and gentlemen, by any means necessary. By any means necessary. Let us pray together. Father, may your words not return void, but may your word accomplish that which you've intended it to accomplish. May minds be illuminated, teach somebody something that we did not know, God. May hearts be encouraged. May all of us leave here knowing trouble doesn't last always. And God, ultimately, I pray that somebody's soul would be convicted today, that someone would come to know you in the pardon of sin and be called out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for being here already. You've been here through song. You've been here through prayer. And now I ask that you would show up through proclamation. Father, may we all leave here having concluded that it was good for us to have been in the house of the Lord on this day. Have your way, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints, and God keep you. Is my prayer. I want to speak today, ushers, you may be seated. I want to speak today about the theme I posited with you a couple of weeks ago when I talked about, have you gone fishing lately? It was a sermon that was directed at trying to remind those of us who are members of this household of faith that God really has called all of us to be more outwardly focused than he has called us to be inwardly focused. That he has called us to really be concerned about reaching outside of these four walls than necessarily only doing things inside of these four walls. Now don't get me wrong, what we do inside of these four holy and consecrated walls are important, because once somebody comes into the household of faith, we want them to be stronger. We want them to be more vibrant in their faith. As Pastor Warren talked about it in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, we want folk to come from the community into the congregation, from the congregation into the committed, from the committed into the core. So yes, we want folk to grow once they get inside. But lest we become more inwardly focused and become more incestuously concerned, come on somebody, meaning only concerned about what goes on in here and not really being concerned about what goes on out there, then I think we're missing the mark. For Jesus always went out into the highways and the byways. If Jesus only found himself stuck in the synagogue and told folk to come to him, I don't think we would have had a story of the woman with the issue of blood. If Jesus only stayed in the synagogue, I don't think we would have had a story of the paralytic man, or the servant, the child, the servant of the child of the servant, the centurion who was healed before he even got back home. I don't think we would have had the story of the blind man who was set free from blindness and was able to see. Come on, somebody. If Jesus only stayed in the synagogue, I don't think we would have encountered as many stories as we had outside of the synagogue. Which leads me to conclude that you and I must get outside of these four walls, and not that we don't do things inside the church, but we must get outside of the walls in order to carry the gospel to those who may never come inside of the four walls. That somebody's waiting for us, because we might be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. So they, when they read you, what are they seeing about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? When they read you, are they seeing hope and hopefulness and faithfulness? When they read you, are they seeing a sense of vitality and an overcoming spirit? Or when they read you, are they feeling more hindered or more than helped? Come on, somebody. I believe that we've got to be able to help somebody as we travel along. We got to be able to cheer somebody with a word or a song. We got to be able to show somebody that they're traveling wrong, so that my living shall not be in vain. It is that spirit that led me to declare July and August as community engagement time. Particularly, I said July is community outreach, community engagement month, where you and I are being encouraged to go outside of the walls and invite folk to come into the church, the sanctified walls of Jesus Christ, in order to receive, that they may receive something that you and I have already received. We have invited folk to come to Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School that started on July the 5th, the day after 4th of July, and have had great numbers throughout this past week, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th, the 7th, and the 8th. We've had great numbers in Vacation Bible School. How many of you have come to Vacation Bible School this first week, just by a show of hands? Let's give God a praise offering for those of you who have come to share. And I really hope and pray that the others of you will share in this second week of Vacation Bible School. It is a time of learning, but if I just had a Vacation Bible School and didn't go outside the walls to invite folk to come, then what good is our Vacation Bible School? So I'm glad that weeks before Vacation Bible School started, the men met on the week before and went knocking on doors and canvassing the corners and the homes around this neighborhood to say, hey, we want you to come and fellowship with us. You may not know me, I'm meeting you for the first time. My name is Deacon so-and-so. My name is Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so. I want to invite you to come to our church right there on 340 Reverend S. Howard Woodson Way to share in the worship experience and the learning experience we call Vacation Bible School. And so we've invited folk to come. We went out again on the Thursday before Vacation Bible School and did the same thing. And so I'm believing that at least one person came because of our outreach into the community. Not only do we want to do that for Vacation Bible School, but this Friday we have our Christian Jazz Fest, another great opportunity to reach out into the neighborhood and invite folk to come, not only from the neighborhood, but from your family, from your job, from experiences that you may have, but particularly this neighborhood, because I believe that Shiloh has been planted right here on this street corner so that we can be of service to this community, that we can be a beacon of light in this community, that we can help somebody understand the power of the Lord Jesus in this community. And so not only Vacation Bibles, not only the Jazz Fest, but next week we have our Fellowship in the Park. And I hope that you would all come and that you would bring one or two guests with you. Again, Community Engagement Month, reaching out to help somebody to know, to have the good thing that we have. Because if you believe you have a good thing going on here at Shiloh, that the Lord is showing up and that the Holy Spirit is real, then you ought to not be able to contain that to yourself. You ought to be able to want to share it with somebody else. Now, if you don't think you have a good thing going on here, then maybe you don't want to share it with somebody else. But I'm believing that you believe that God is doing something in our presence. Amen? And if God is doing something, then I think you want to share that with somebody else. That's called the good news. That's called the gospel. The good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I'm grateful for these times during the month of July. And even in the month of August, our men and our committee of our women and men and women and other ministers in the church will do a backpack giveaway. We're hoping to reach 500 to 1,000 families by giving them backpacks that have been prayed over and consecrated. So this time, no greater time than the summer to reach out, to go out into the walls, into the ways and the highways and the byways, and to get outside of the walls of the church and let folk know that we serve a risen Savior. And so it is in that spirit a couple of weeks ago that I challenged us to go fishing, right? Fishing is when you cast your net out, or when you cast your fishing hook out and you're trying to bring folk in. The only way you can bring folk in is by casting something out. You can stand here and all you want, and we can stand here all we want and pray that folk come inside of the church. But unless we're going outside of the church and intentionally engaging them, I'm going to believe that not as many will come in as possible. And so I believe in fishing. I believe in going out. I believe in walking the streets. I believe in knocking on doors. I believe in letting folk know that we're here so that folk can do what to know the same God that we have come to know. And that's what Paul is talking about in this text. In point of fact, Paul, in all of the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, he talks about what does it mean to engage the Christian believers as well as those outside of the Christian faith. And in this particular chapter, chapter number 9, we find Paul defending his apostleship. Paul is literally defending those who are attacking him because they are trying to say that he is not worthy of being called an apostle. But I need to let somebody know that you will always have naysayers and backbiters in your ministry and in your faith. And you've got to every now and again stand up and tell them, yes, I am a child of the Most High God. I know I'm not everything you want me to be, but thank God I'm not who I used to be. God has brought all of us a mighty long ways. Do I have a witness this morning? Because there's going to be somebody that tries to remind you that you used to be this, and you used to do that, and you used to go there. And all that you want to be able to say to them is, yes, you are right. I used to be. But I want you to know that's not who I am now. Because when God got a hold of me, the Bible says he called me out of darkness and brought me into the marvelous light. You can talk about me all you want, but I'm just here to remind you, God has done a new thing in my life. Come on, somebody. Don't let folk put you back where you used to be. And let me let you on another secret. Don't be ashamed of where you come from. Yeah. Some of y'all used to be out there. Some of y'all used to go there. Some of y'all used to smoke that, drink that, see that, look at that. But that's what you used to do. You ought to be grateful to God that that's not where you are now. The Lord has brought you from a mighty long way. The songwriter said, when I look back over my life and think things over, I can truly say that I've been changed. Has anybody been changed today? We all ought to say, thank you, Lord, for changing me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me a mighty long way. Paul stands up and defends his apostleship. And he says, yes, you may doubt my ability to be an apostle because of my name used to be Saul. You do know Paul had his name before he was named Paul, don't you? You do know that Paul had a life before he was named Paul, don't you? His name was Saul, and he persecuted the church. He tried to destroy the Christian organism called the Church of the Living God. But when God struck him down and shone a bright light in his face, God said, Paul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? And when Paul got up, he had a new walk, he had a new talk, and he had a new mindset. And I'm so glad that God had to knock me down one day to get me out of my old mindset and get me ready for my new mindset, because he wants to take me somewhere. But he can't do it unless I have been submitted. And because I now know who I am, and I now know whose I am, I'm not going to let the devil put me back to where I used to be. Because God has done too much in all of our lives, hasn't he? Don't you let the devil put you back where you used to be. Don't you let your friends try to put you back to where you used to be. I want you to say, that's what the past was, but I got a new future today. Paul says in verse number 1, look at the Bible. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I'm not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Paul says, the very act of how God has used me is evidenced by the fact that you're sitting here today. And I want to be able to say, I'm not trying to brag or boast, but I want to be able to say, because of my faithfulness to God, that somebody has been blessed. Because of my ability to stand on the word of God, that somebody has been blessed. Because of my exegesis of the word of God, that somebody has been blessed. Because of my preaching and my teaching, I want to be able to say that somebody has been blessed. Paul makes a bold declaration. I am an apostle of God. I am a child of God. And he finds himself having to defend those who have come against him. And so I want to today simply to say that there are times when you and I have to stand up and be able to say, yes, I am a child of God, and never be ashamed of the name that brought you out of your past. I want you to always lift up the name of Jesus, for he is worthy to be praised. How many of you believe he's worthy to be praised? Don't ever be ashamed of the name of the Lord God, for he is, his name has given you power. Paul goes on to talk about in this ninth chapter about how it, what it means to go out and engage folk who are not yet within the body of believers. And he says something profound that I want to leave with you today. And if I can just offer these three words as an anchor for the sermon, I want to talk today about Paul's assertion, about what is our assertion today. What is Paul's assertion in this text? I want to secondly talk about the word accommodation. How does Paul accommodate those whom he's trying to reach out to. And thirdly, I want to finish with the word affirmation. How does Paul affirm the very issue that he is trying to lift up today? I believe what Paul is really talking about is the issue of what it means to go out and reach out to those who are outside of the body of faith. And there's a way that you and I should do that, and there's a way that we should not do that. Number one, if you look in verse number 12, I want to just start you right in the middle. I want to talk about this word assertion. Paul says, although I'm a child of God, I do not assert my rights. Come on, somebody. See, there are some of us who will assert that because I am a child of God, that I deserve to be treated a certain way, or I deserve to be looked upon a certain way. But Paul says, I don't have time to worry about how you want to treat me. I've got to worry about what God has called me to do. And so if you don't ever give me a good word, it's all right, because the Lord's got a good word for me. And if you don't ever call my name, it's all right, because I'm not preaching a teaching, Paul says, to get you to say, well done, Brother Paul. No, I'm preaching to hear God say, well done, Brother Paul. If you don't ever put my name up on the bulletin, it's all right, Paul says, because Paul says, I'm not working for you. I'm working for God. So I'm not here to assert my rights. I'm here to assert who the Lord is. And you and I must first figure out, what is it that we are asserting? For you see, in verse number 12, Paul says, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. See, Paul says, I've got some rights as an apostle of the Lord Jesus, but I'm not here to assert my rights. I'm here to assert my liberation. Come on, somebody. For if I asserted my rights the way you ought to treat me, then I would be missing the point. I'm here to assert the fact that God is God all by God's self, that Jesus is Lord, and that the Holy Spirit is real. That's what my assertion is. Paul makes a very interesting point. He says, he uses as an example the right to get paid, to have his livelihood taken care of by the preaching of the word. It's right there in the text. Look what he says in verse number 13. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Verse 14, even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Now Paul says, that's my right. That's my right that goes all the way back to Deuteronomy. It's my right because in Deuteronomy chapter 14, it talks about that God said that there are four groups of people who should live from the tithe of the people. One group is the stranger. Another group is the widow. Another group is the children. But he says the Levitical priest should eat from the tithe of the people. That's my right, Paul says. But he says, if my right is getting in the way of your salvation, then I'm willing to put my right on the burner so that your salvation will come first. Come on, somebody. Let me break it down to 21st century language. Some folk think that the pastor, because the pastor draws a salary from the church, is somehow the employee of the church. Listen to me carefully now. That means that because the pastor gets a paycheck, that really the pastor is working for the paycheck. But I need folks to understand, if I never get another paycheck today, I'm still going to preach the gospel, because I'm not preaching the gospel for the paycheck. I'm preaching the gospel because God has called me. I'm preaching the gospel because I can't help but preach the gospel. It's like fire shut up in my bones. If I don't preach the gospel, I'm going to have God to answer to, not you. And so I've got to preach the gospel, whether you give me a check or not, whether I get money or not, whether I get anything else, I'm going to preach, because God says, preach the word. And let me let you know a little secret. when you are not beholden to a material thing, you have more freedom. Because if folk think that you are doing something for material things, then when they withhold the material things, then you're not going to do what God's called. No, you got to be able to do what God's called you to do. Even if you lose your job, lose your house, lose your money, lose your health, you got to stand on the word that the same God that gave you a job and gave you a house and gave you a car and gave you everything else you got, if he gave it to you one time, come on somebody, he'll give it to you again. Thank you, Father. And when you are free, then you can do the Lord's work no matter what comes back to you. And I'm so glad because Paul says, because I am free in the Lord, I'm not going to assert my right to get paid, because I don't want my right to get paid to be a stumbling block. You're missing the point here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 says this. Verse 8 says, but food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we don't eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty, this right, this freedom of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? Now listen, what Paul is saying is that the meat that is offered to idols, right, is not the issue at hand. He says you can eat the meat per se once you've consecrated and prayed over, because it's not the food that goes inside of you that defiles you. It's what comes outside of you that defiles you. But he says, wait a minute. There are some folk who are not in the same spiritual place you are in. And so therefore, if they see you eating that meat, even though you have the right to eat that meat, because they are not in the same spiritual place as you are, they may become a stumbling block because of what you're doing. And Paul is saying the one thing you don't want to do is to become a stumbling block in other folks' Christian growth, maturity, and development. If I can't help you, I don't want to hurt you. If I can't move you further to God, I don't want to hinder you more away from God. I want to push you closer to the Lord. Everyone getting the point? So Paul said, I've got some rights, yes, but I don't want my rights to stand in the way of your growth. So I've got to be concerned more about your growth than my rights. Come on, somebody. And that means I got to get outside of myself in order to figure out where you are and be sensitive to where you are. But so many of us are wrapped up in us. Come on, y'all. So many of us are too concerned about what's going on in us, and we can't be concerned about what's going on in other folk. But I just want to let you know, God is going to bless you if you can get outside of your shoes and outside of your mind and get into the shoes of somebody else and be concerned about where they are in their Christian walk. And don't let you become a stumbling block for them. And so that's where the word assertion comes from. I'm not going to assert what I can do. Because I can do it doesn't mean I should do it. Right? And so Paul then goes to the next point of accommodation. And if you look in verse number, go back to chapter number 9. And look now in verse number 19. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews, I've become as a Jew, To those under the law, become as under the law. Verse 21, to those who are without law, become as to those who were without law. In verse number 22, to the weak, I have become as weak, that I might win the weak. And then this is the most pivotal point, which is the title of my sermon. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul says, my most important factor is not about who I am, but it's about how many I can save. Come on, somebody. It's not about what I'm trying to do, but it's about how many I can reach for the cause of Jesus Christ. So he says, if I got to become as a Jew in order to reach some Jews, I'm going to go down and become as a Jew. If I got to be as a weak as those who are weak in the law, weak in my understanding, I got to become to those who are weak. If I got to become as those who are not under the law, that I got to become as those who are not under the law, that I might reach them. There are three groups of people Paul delineates in verses 19, 20, and 21. Those three groups are what I put on the screen here today. The first one are the Jews, right? Those who are under the law. Those who keep the Mosaic law. The second are those who are without the law, meaning those who are Gentiles. They are not with the law. And then the third group are the same group Paul referenced in verse chapter 8 and verse number 8. Those who are weak, right? Those who have not yet grown in their faith to have a deeper understanding like you have. So you're either under the law or you're without the law and you're under another law, or you're weak and you're growing in your understanding of God's word. And so, you know, some of us might be somewhere along those lines, but Paul is saying, whatever it takes, by any means necessary, I want to accommodate those I'm trying to reach. If you define the word accommodation means I'm willing to entertain the values of some other group of people that I may gain access to them, right? And so therefore, if I'm trying to be a fisherman at Shiloh, and I'm trying to reach some young boys on the street corner on Hanover and Passaic Street, then I might have to take off my collar and my robe when I walk down on Passaic Street. I might not put on some Timberlands and some blue jeans, but and I'm not going to let my pants sag down all the way down to my ankles. Come on, somebody. But I'm not going to be afraid to go into their crowd, into their number, because if I want to reach some of those who are on the corner, Paul says, by any means necessary, I've got to step out of my box and go to where they are, that they may have a deeper appreciation of the God I serve. Come on, somebody. Paul says, if I'm trying to reach those who are weak in their mentality, then I gotta get into their mindset and not be afraid to go where they are in order to let them know that I'm not so high and sedate, I'm not so arrogant, I'm not so removed, that I'm not willing to roll up my sleeve and go where they are. By any means necessary. So that depends on what group I'm targeting today. Then I've got to be willing to be among that group, right? Jesus was not afraid to be among the sinners, even though they called him. How can he be the Son of God and he cohorts with sinners? And Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you would not say what you're saying. But because I am who I am my God, my Father's child, because I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter what you say. All that matters is what God's got to say. Come on, somebody. Stop being so concerned about what they say and be more concerned about what God says. Paul says, I've become all things to all people that I might reach some. I'm not trying to reach thousands. I'm just trying to reach a few. If I can just help somebody, just a few folk. If I can help somebody through another day, just a few folk. I don't have to save 3,000 folk like Peter did when he preached the first sermon. If I can just have one child come out of darkness into the marvelous light, then my preaching and my teaching and my living has not been in vain.
Now, there's a difference between compromise and accommodation. Work with me on this now. See, to accommodate folk means I'm willing to get outside of me in order to reach you. But compromise means I'm so wanting to get you that I'm willing to do anything in order to get you. And Paul says, no, you don't compromise the word of God. When the word of God says what it says, you don't go beyond that, but you're willing to go among anybody and to go anywhere at any time to say what God has called you to say and not compromise the word of God. So there is a difference between accommodation and compromise. Paul calls us to accommodate. I must be willing to get outside of me. And wherever you are, right? Because so many of us are stuck on us, we can't get beyond anybody else. Come on, somebody. We're so concerned about what's going on in my world, what's going on in my orbit, what's going on in my corner, what's going on in my house, that we can't appreciate what's going on in somebody else's house. And Paul says, I need to get outside of myself. I need to be able to see the world as a little bit bigger than Darrell Armstrong in order that God might use me. And so I assert not my rights, but I assert the liberty of God. And when I assert the liberty of God, I go to where God calls me to go. And when I go there and accommodate those who I'm trying to reach for the Lord, the Bible says, then my last statement is not delineated, is not explicitly stated in verse number 23. But if you look at verse number 23, I want you to get the word affirmation. The Bible says in verse 23, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. I do this for the gospel's sake. I don't do this for me. And what Paul says is that my affirmation is not coming from anything else, nor coming from anybody else, but my affirmation is coming from the Most High God. I preach because God has called me to preach. I sing because God has called me to sing. I pray because God has called me to pray. I do what I do, not because of you or anybody else, but I do what I do because God has affirmed me. And when God is on my side, he's more than the whole world against me. You're not getting the message, are you? Stop worrying about what they say, because your affirmation doesn't come from your job. Your affirmation doesn't come from your family. Your affirmation doesn't come from your friends. Your affirmation comes from God. And if God says, well done, then you have been blessed indeed. Come on, somebody. I do this, Paul says, for the gospel's sake. And you do know what the gospel means. Euangelion is the Greek word for gospel. Euangelion means good news. Come on, somebody. And if you know God like I know him, he has called me to have a smile on my face, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you know God like I know him, he has called you to have a pep in your step, because the Bible says greater is the God in me than the devil that's in the world. If you know God like I know him, then you know that I can do all things through Jesus Christ that gives me strength. If you know God like I know him, he said he'll supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Come on, y'all. Y'all pretending like you don't know him. If you know him like I know him. See, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know like I know how he set me free. You don't know like I know how he brought me out. You don't know like I know. You know what the Lord has done for you. You know how he blessed you. You know how he's been food on your table, clothes on your back, a roof over your head. You know like you know. Therefore, I do what I do for the affirmation of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want somebody else to know God like I know him. I want somebody else to feel what I feel. I want somebody else to experience what I've experienced. Paul says, I do what I do that somebody else may know him. For the gospel's sake. And if you're doing this for any other reason, you might as well put up your sermon, put up your solo, shut down your prayer, give up your usher title, get off the trustee ministry, get off the deacon ministry. If you're doing this for any other reason other than for the gospel's sake, you need to get on out the way so that God can be God. Because if you don't praise him, somebody else gonna praise him. I'm not gonna let a rock cry out for me. By any means necessary, I want somebody else to know the God I've come to know. And so as we go throughout this time of community engagement and community outreach, may that be our driving force to think about Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's not about your rights. It's about God's freedom. And when you are free in the Lord, can't nobody put you back. Come on, somebody. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Anybody free today? Has anybody been delivered? Has anybody been rescued? Has anybody been brought over their trial and their tribulation? Has anybody been brought out of darkness? Are you free today? Free to praise him. Free to worship him. Free to bless him. Even when folk persecute you. As I go to my seat, I want to leave you with these two scriptures. Go to the last three slides. It is out of Philippians chapter number 2. It says, let nothing be done out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others, listen now, better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Next slide. And let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it a robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. There is no greater example of what Paul talks about than our Lord Jesus, who was sitting up with God on the right hand of the throne of God. And when humanity needed salvation, Jesus said, I will go down. God said, you go down and take on the form of humanity. Talking about accommodation, Jesus came down from heaven through 42 generations and took on humanity, y'all. He was talked about. They spat on him. They abused him. They betrayed him. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. Everything you and I go through, Jesus has already been through it. And I'm so glad today that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Jesus accommodated us. He could have stayed up in heaven, y'all, and called us to him. But look at how good God is. God took on the form of man, considered it not robbery to be equal with God, and walked down here and talked to us and walked with us and shared with us and helped us to know that you can make it through a storm. Come on, somebody. Anybody been through a storm lately? Come on, somebody. Jesus said, if you just hold on to me and trust in me, you can make it through a storm. As I think about Jesus, I think about Paul's words of how Jesus accommodated us. He came to us, y'all. And because he came to us, we got to go to somebody else. It's not enough for us to stay inside the church and say, come to us. Because Jesus went to us, we've got to go to somebody else. For the gospel's sake, by any means necessary. That means wherever I got to go, whatever I got to do, whatever I got to say within the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be ashamed. And I'm going to step out on faith. And I'm going to be bold in my declaration. And I'm going to say, devil, you are a liar. Get thee behind me. Because greater is the God that is inside of me than you, devil, that's in the world. Devil, you're defeated. Get under my feet. I'm going to step up on you and declare that I serve an awesome God. I serve a good God. I serve a wonderful God. I serve an amazing God. Yes, I do. And I thank God for all that he's done. And so that is my prayer and my challenge today, beloved. That we would heed the words of Paul. And that by any means necessary, we will carry the gospel outside of this church. To be a blessing to somebody else. Let the church say amen today. Amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Everyone standing to their feet. I'm going to ask the deacons and the deaconess and the clergy to go out and help me extend the invitation to discipleship. I don't know who you are and I don't know what your situation is. But I can tell you this. If you're looking for a church home that's trying its best to be what God wants it to be, then I do believe you found a church that's trying to do that right here. And so if you're looking for a church, I'm not going to say there are better churches or worse churches. I can only tell you that this church is trying to be what God has called it to be. And so I invite you to come today to give us your hand and give God your heart. But secondarily and more importantly, if you don't know God for yourself, I want to say to you, God wants you to know him. And the first step in doing that is by getting outside of yourself and saying, Lord, I've tried it every other way. Now I want to try you. I submit my life to you. I am a sinner, God, and I need you in my life. And I believe that you sent Jesus to show me the way. And God, I accept Jesus today. For you, God, the Father, created us. And you, God, the Son, redeemed us. And you, God, the Spirit, you are keeping us. And so today I ask that someone would come to know God for yourself. It's very easy to step out and say, I submit my life. I surrender. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to sing, and we're certainly praying with Aaron and praying and believing that God's going to make sure that he's all right. And even though he's not on the organ right now, I want us to sing, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. And as we sing that song, I want someone to just come and let God have God's way in your life. Those of my choir members out there, I want you to help me lift up the song, right?